The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning and happy Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. And maybe you can combine Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday with, hey, what the heck is that flashing up in the sky? You know, I've got to continue that. That is still going on. Speaking of the flashing in the sky and weird stuff in the sky, James Fox is going to call me here a little more than an hour from now. And he's a leading voice within the UFO, the unidentified aerial phenomenon. He has another, well, he has a follow-up documentary called The Plan. And this has to do with mostly the government's reaction and all of the hearings that they've been putting on with UFOs and drones and UAPs and all the rest of it. And I watched the documentary over the weekend, and it was pretty thought-provoking. Some of it was kind of like, yeah, right. You know, like, you know, you can't just, you know, take everything. But I think one of my favorite parts of the well, I'm going to ask him about this, and maybe he could explain this a bit further. There's one of the people starring, one of the sources in the documentary, that is, you know, they're out there in the middle of the desert by one of the proving grounds, one of the government proving grounds, and there's this this guy running down the street, and it's really cold out in the desert in the middle of the winter, and this guy is blue. They're thinking he has hypothermia. Well, he's in a military uniform, and he turns around and he goes up to them in the car and stops and is looking for help because apparently there was a crash of a craft, one of these UAPs there, and I guess the implication being that these are alien craft that our government is actually working with, trying to reverse engineer or maybe have created new versions of it. And the thing is, the guy inside the car starts yelling behind this source going, like, he's got no ears. The guy's got no freaking ears. And I kind of laugh out loud. And in other words, implying there was like an alien-human hybrid. It was like watching a part of the X-Files for real. You know, that kind of thing. So we'll talk with James about it. It should be very interesting. But I ended up seeing a pre-screen of it. And it was pretty thought-provoking and going in with all of the various Republicans and Democrats that are all in on this. And part of this, I imagine, is because with everybody walking around with a camera these days, you just can't really deny some of the weirdness that is seen now. Everybody walking around with a camera on the cell phone, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So anyway, we'll do that about an hour from now. Meanwhile, they're selling off the border parts of the border wall. We'll talk with Joey Chester about that here in the next few minutes. Meanwhile, I guess I'm just trying to keep it together, kind of like you, too. How do you keep your brain healthy? Do you do anything to try to keep your brain healthy as you get a little older? I mean, I'm 63 now. I'm not the kid. I still feel the same inside, but you know what it's like. I don't even remember what it's like to wake up in the morning and not feel something hurting. You remember when you were a little kid and you could you get up and you'd run everywhere, right? You ran everywhere. That's just the way it is. And now I look at those kids and I smile. And I used to say, I would think of my parents. I still had grandparents. We had a young family, so I had great grandparents that I knew, you know, for a while. They ended up dying when I was about 10. But still, I knew my great grandparents. And they would always talk about their pains and the arthritis and, oh, the weather's bad. And I went, what are you talking about? Now I'm 63. I kind of get more of that. But I started getting into doing puzzles to try to keep my head thinking in different ways. Every time I'd come home from the radio station, Linda's sitting there, and she's on the sundial on one of these UK newspapers, and they put out puzzles every day, word puzzles and things. And so I started doing that. And actually, I have to tell you, it's pretty interesting to get your brain thinking in different ways to do this, because you see the rising tide of Alzheimer's, of dementia. You see all of this stuff going on, the rise of memory care here in Southern Oregon, right? You can't help but notice that. And lots of expense and many people spending the final 10, 15 years of their life in you know, not recognizing people. And I don't know if this is a new phenomenon or if we just have facilities now for a lot of people that do have that. I know that I've had people within my family. My father, as an example, had a neurological condition. He died of Parkinson's, and it was a death I would not wish on anyone. That was very difficult to watch someone who was so physical essentially become a prisoner inside his body. But we're thinking that was probably more due to environmental exposures. He was a chemist for the Koppers Chemical Company in Pittsburgh when he was a young man before he had us, had the kids and got married to mom. And in those days, ventilating of the lab, working with volatile organic compounds and ventilating the lab, we don't worry about ventilating the lab, stuff's good for you. And he would talk about how they would pipette. And if you've ever done any high school chemistry or college chemistry, that they would pipette with their mouth. So they would have these volatile, nasty chemicals they'd be working with to try to come up with new plastics or whatever it was. And you'd suck it up with your mouth. You'd put your mouth on the pipette, a little glass tube, and suck it in. And yeah, you'd suck some of it in every now and then. You'd taste some of that. Kind of wonder about those sort of things. So, yeah, I'm sensitive to the keeping the brain thing going on. I'll let you know if the puzzle things are helping me out. But one of the most interesting stories that I've read over the last few days had to be one that I was reading over the weekend. I think it was Epic Times. And it had to do with Alzheimer's. And we've had all this talk for years now about we need drugs to stop the plaque, the goop from forming inside your brain. That's always been the big holy grail, trying to take care of Alzheimer's and get people's brains working longer and longer as we get older. And now the research is pointing in a very different way, very different direction. The common theory here, I'm going to read from this article, the common theory that Alzheimer's is caused by a buildup of beta amyloid plaques in the brain now being challenged by a new theory. They're saying that Alzheimer's may be an autoimmune disease. And this is not a new theory, but it's starting to get more traction. 30 years of research, it's suggesting that the beta amyloid, rather than being an abnormal protein, is actually a part of the brain's immune system. And it's to protect the brain from injury and infection. But because of the similarity between the fat molecules in bacterial membranes and brain cell membranes, beta amyloid mistakenly attacks the brain cells it's meant to defend. This is a very interesting wrinkle here, right? Leads to a chronic progressive loss of brain function, ultimately resulting in dementia. And the autoimmune misfire redefines Alzheimer's as a disorder of the immune system rather than actually a brain disease. I find that really interesting. So they're going to be working on various... But gosh, there's like 80 types of autoimmune diseases out there, including rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, multiple sclerosis. I have some relatives that have endured that too. And so the causes are unclear. Factors like genetics, infections, and once again, environmental exposures may contribute. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the Trump administration, because there are truly some disruptors like Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr., certainly, who are going to be looking and casting a jaundiced eye, a more jaundiced eye on the, hey, let's throw every chemical into the environment and then see what happens. it's okay. We'll test it with a few mice, and then if the mice don't die or turn into mongoloidal mice or something like that, we'll say it's perfectly okay to put in your Fruit Loops, that kind of thing. And Trump was even talking about that yesterday in that wide-ranging press conference. And, of course, he was just riffing along and doing good as he always does in those kind of sort of things. But when he was talking about the chemicals and the pesticides, things that are allowed here that are not allowed overseas in Europe and various other countries because of toxicity problems, it raises a bunch of questions with him, too. And I think that's really interesting. So... the Don and his people are definitely much more disruptors than before. It'll be interesting to see where this ends up going, and it may help a lot of things, because for as much money as we have, we sure do have some health issues within our population that other countries don't have nearly as much of. So it's worth looking at. I'm glad he is. All right, Alzheimer's may just be a brain attacking itself, which would be too bad. But maybe they can start looking at it from that angle. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED 99.3 KBXG. What else do we have going on here? We had a fire yesterday put out near Rogue X. KDRV reporting this was over by Ross Lane. They got it put out by about 1 o'clock. Two-alarm structure, and it was Augie's Fiberglass and Boat Repair. But they were able to salvage most of that. Nobody hurt, and that's pretty good news. Glad to hear that. Governor Kotek asking for an extension on Medford's casino comment period. The casino comment period. What's it up? 30 days on that public comment, saying that the decision carries significant implications for Oregon's community. And unless that comment gets extended, there's only about 5-6 days left to get your opinion in on the Medford casino. I imagine pretty soon we'll be having a comment period on a Sillette's casino, given that they bought some land out there by the Table Rock, you know, some ancestral homes. I don't know if that's where they're going, but I had to chuckle. You had to chuckle over that Sillette story I was talking about yesterday with Dr. Powers. The Sillette tribe buying a couple thousand acres from private hands over by the Rogue River and the Table Rocks. And, well, we don't know what we're going to do with it. And it's like, I think I have an idea, and I think most people have an idea that they know what they're going to do with it too, okay? This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Everyone does
at the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar. Now I'm happy, on happy, KMED.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy.
24 after happy, 6. Happy, joy, joy. And happy, 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 joy, joy, joy news. Happy, happy, joy, the Department joy, of Justice joy. And the Oregon Office of Attorney General is at it again. But they actually may have done something good. It's not very often I can say that about the Rosenblum clan. Or Roy Kaufman over at the DOJ, who's the director of communications, always sends me little notes about what they're up to. But Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum announces yesterday, it was late yesterday, $3.5 million settlement with Camping World. It's a big dealer of RVs, all sorts of locations in Oregon. So Camping World's going to have to pay the state $3.5 million. This orders Camping World to return $3 million in refunds to affected customers. They found that, this is kind of interesting. You always have to be careful, right? Read the fine print anytime you're dealing with anybody, really. He says, AG's investigation found that Camping World would advertise a heavily discounted dare to compare price. And then they'd be negotiating with the customer. And then Camping World would claw back its discount because they would then double charge you for the freight and the prep charges that had already been included in the advertised price. Hey, that's pretty cool, right? That's a neat way to make the nut. But Rosenblum said, this is not how Oregonians expect or deserve to be treated. Well, it's not a matter of expect or deserve to be treated. It's called fraud, okay? It's called fraud. But I know that maybe Rosenblum doesn't like to use things like that because there's stuff that they've done that I've thought is kind of fraudulent anyway. But under the terms of the agreement, of the $3.5 million that Camping World would be required to pay the state, $3 million will be used to refund certain consumers that bought an RV from them between 2017 and 2018. Paid more than the advertised price for the vehicle. So they'll at least they'll get some of it back. See, I consider this a better settlement than many, because most of the time when you have the Democrat AGs going out there and saying, we're going to charge this big evil company, you know, $150 million, the state just ends up keeping most of the $150 million, let's say, as an example. And they'll kind of use this under a guise of we're having to provide services for the aggrieved party. You know, like, let's say it's health or opioid or something like that. Like, only the state can write hot checks to solve drug addiction, you know, that kind of thing. But at least most of the money that they're taking from the company in this particular case is actually going back to the customers who got screwed, which is kind of nice to see, because a lot of times, in my opinion, in the past, I'd look at what they would do, and it's just like, all right, so you've punished the miscreant, the bad, evil company, because you hate all companies. It's just a matter of finding out which ones are criminal, right, Rosenblum? But at least it's going back to the people who were actually wronged. But I guess there's an extra $500,000 to pay for the lawyers, you know, the lawyers in state of Oregon. So there we go. We have that going. So if you bought one there, fine. All right. It's another interesting story, and this one having to do with the Christian school shooting yesterday, just tragic in Wisconsin. And people have been wondering, they've been sitting around wondering, what was the motive? Everyone's asking this. Well, there may be a bit of a clue here. I know that I was a little bit confused when I saw some of the reporting on it being done yesterday, in which the police officer was talking about, the chief was out there on the news conference talking about feeling sorry for the shooter or trying to understand the shooter. And it's like, wait a minute, this is someone that murdered a teacher and a fellow student and then took her own life. But the chief said something pretty interesting. Shoot themselves. Yes, the shooter, shot themself. Now, maybe it was just a misspeaking. You can be up there. We all misspeak. You have little changes, and you get a word wrong. I was thinking, okay, well, is this a transsexual, transgender sort of thing, kind of thing? And it doesn't appear to be the case. But the thing is, though, is that Samantha Rupnow, who was the shooter, but wanted to be known as Natalie. And so I would see that, I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, okay, do we have some disassociated personality kind of thing going on here? Name is Samantha, but she wanted to be called Natalie, right? So I'm just wondering if that was part of the them. Well, they ended up having some people talk to a blogger. A blogger ended up talking and interviewing a young man identified as the boyfriend of Rupnow, the alleged boyfriend. And he shared some details of the so-called manifesto, opened it and read it, and they did this online. Police have not been able to confirm this, but it does have an interesting statement. In her manifesto, she spoke of having extremely difficult relationships with her parents. She also claims her family didn't love her or want her and expresses feelings like the wrong child of her family. She says she had planned to commit suicide a long time ago, but felt committing a shooting was better for evolution rather than just one stupid, boring suicide. This according to the tweet of this manifesto. They have not been able to identify the authenticity of it, but they're looking into it. I do find it interesting that we're starting to see more and more young women expressing the same kind of activity and behavior that we used to associate mostly with young men, troubled young men. I'm not thinking that's necessarily progress. It's 6:30 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Waking up with the Bill Meyer Show. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. 770-5633. Happy to take your calls in. We're also going to talk with Joey Chester in just a moment. The Biden administration auctioning off the wall. What the heck is going on with that? We'll dig into it more. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. By the way, it is 6:35. If you try to stream through the website, probably can't get there from here. There is a outage on the web servers. We're thinking, in fact, it's company-wide. A lot of other places are having trouble, too. And rumor has it is a problem over at Amazon. Hey, what could go wrong with having most of the country's websites going through one company? That's just, oh, well, it's okay. Everything's as a service, but that's what's going on. The stream is available. Maybe you have the TuneIn app or something else that'll help you get through it. Or, of course, you can also stream. Facebook is not unaffected at the moment, all right? Joining me right now, though, from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. I don't know if it's still cold there right now or not, but Joey Chester is keeping things warm over at the Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. How you doing, Joey? Welcome back.
Hey, Bill, doing great. It's good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Freezing there? It was freezing last time I talked to somebody on Friday, or is it warming up a bit finally?
it was freezing for days, and now it's like 65 and rainy today. It is bizarre, and it no longer feels like Christmas.
Okay. Oh, well. All right. But I don't know what to think about this particular – well, I do know what I think about this, and it's not necessarily good. You were reporting on this deal with the Biden administration, what they're doing with the border wall materials that have not been used to build the border wall yet. And it's kind of like they're giving the Don a big finger, the big middle finger as he's coming in. Could you explain what's going on with what happened with all these materials that the taxpayers paid for a wall?
Yeah, absolutely. So remember, the border wall was one of President Trump's initiatives. There were taxpayer dollars spent on securing these materials to build the wall. There were contracts that were set up to build the wall. And President Biden halted it on day one. And basically what's happened now is the Daily Wire, a journalist, caught some video down in Arizona in the Tucson sector, which, by the way, is one of the busiest border sectors in America. And that video showed these huge steel panels on flatbed trucks being transported to a government auction site in Pinal County, Arizona.
Huh.
And a Border Patrol agent on the ground there, anonymously, you know, because fearing backlash from the administration,
naturally,
told the Daily Wire that the goal is to get all of this border wall material cleared out before Christmas. And the real kicker here, Bill, is people went on the website, and funny enough, all of these auctions have been taken off the website now, but there's screenshots from the auction. The material was starting at just $5 a panel to be auctioned off.
How much do those panels cost that the Biden administration is trying to sell these border wall panels for $5? You know?
I don't know the exact cost of a single panel. I do know that it's in the millions. I want to say it's like $5 million they estimate to build 1 mile of wall. So it's not cheap for – it's certainly not $5 for one of these big panels, so it's got to be a loss. And so I did a little digging this morning, actually, after I talked to you earlier, because there's been some other information that came out. And basically, the reason that this material is being auctioned off, it's a result of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2024, which says that any remaining border wall material either has to be used or donated or sold. And so naturally, one would think that, oh, well, we have massive areas of the border that are unsecure. We should just use all of the remaining material for the border wall. I was down in Texas. I saw these huge gaps where there's no border wall. Or why don't you donate it to the states like Arizona or Texas or California or New Mexico that could use it? I was watching a video this morning. The Texas lieutenant governor said that they could have used this border wall material. But instead, I guess what happened was actually back in June, this material was sold to the auction company. And so our government doesn't even own this material anymore. It's just finally being transported to the auction company, and the sale actually happened earlier this year, which tells me if they're starting the auction at $5 a panel, we sold it to the auction company for even less than that.
Oh,
and so the
gosh.
Whole thing goes back to, if Biden hadn't ever canceled the wall, we wouldn't have an auction in the first place.
The part that kind of concerns me is who slipped into the NDAA for 2024 that this border wall material had to be moved along rather than, you know, keeping it, you know, even if it's in a government warehouse there to repair border walls and things like that. Have you considered that? Just kind of a weird thing to put into that.
It's interesting. It's something that I never realized happened. And this was a Republican sponsored bill. It was passed by a Republican House of Representatives, from what I've read, because I think it happened in December of 2023.
Yeah.
And so it's very concerning that this was put in there and that they didn't just allow for it to be stored. So there was about, I am reading, there was about 60% of the material that was used or transferred to authorized recipients, and then the other 40% was sold to a government auction website. 40% of remaining materials. imagine how that could be used.
Yeah, imagine what Doge would have to say about that kind of behavior, too. You know, the Doge committee, right?
No joke. Musk.
You know, kind of wondering here, Joey, I'm just purely asking a speculative question, but sure. You have to wonder, is there a possibility that the Trump administration might be forced to buy back the wall that the Joe Biden administration sold to this auction company? It's like, okay, you want $5 minimum. All right, we'll give you $100 for it. And the auction guy makes bank no matter what. I mean, the real winner out of this is going to be the auction company, because it does seem to be a legitimate sale done by an illegitimate president, in my view. But still.
Yeah, I actually, Bill, think that that's a possibility. Even the Texas lieutenant governor was talking today. I think he's going to have his staff review the auctions and see what material out of there might be able to be purchased and used. He said they've got a surplus of funds for border security. You know, they, it sounds like, maybe willing to purchase some of this wall material and then either use it because Texas is constructing its own border wall, or donate it to the Trump administration to help them build the wall. But I could totally see the president, when he takes office, trying to buy some of this material back, because his other option, and this is part of what's so infuriating, is he's going to sign an executive order probably on day one to restart border wall construction. And if this material is sold off and he no longer has access to it, that's just going to delay the restart of the construction of the border wall, which is incredibly frustrating when this material was already made for this job. And so, you know, it may actually be quicker, even though it is awful and it's a massive burden on the taxpayers whose money is paying for this, to buy some of that wall and use it right away.
Yeah, good money after bad, you know, apparently, I guess is what it would be. You know, if you can buy the panel back for $100 a piece, you know, you got to figure those panels, those steel panels, they're pretty darn heavy. Because, right, you have to put them on flatbed trucks. You got to figure what? If you're talking government contracting, $1,000, maybe $2,000 or more, you know, for each of those panels? I don't know.
Right. And they are huge. I remember being down in Texas and seeing where the Trump wall was and then where it ends. I mean, these are massive, you know, gosh, I don't know, what are they, 20, 30 feet tall? They're huge steel panels that we're talking about.
Joey Chester once again, and he's with the Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. You guys have been in the fight, gosh, for decades now, decades here, working to get a sensible immigration policy. I wanted to touch on something else that you folks have been covering that has to do with special interest aliens, because President Trump has made it pretty clear that it looks like the plan is to go after the criminals, first off, when it comes to mass deportations, getting the obvious real problem children, you know, out of the country, so to speak here. And what are these special interest aliens? You're reporting that there's about 100,000 of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So special interest aliens, you know, there's a difference between a special interest alien and an alien on the terrorist watch list. Mm-hmm. So special interest countries are countries like China or Iran or Syria or Afghanistan, countries where, you know, they potentially pose a national security risk to the United States. It doesn't mean that all people from that country are a national security risk, but they are of special interest to the United States and may, you know, that nationality may pose a higher risk to the country. And so there are tens of thousands of these special interest aliens inside the United States roaming free that currently have final orders of removal from the United States government. So that means that they've gone through the court proceedings, they've been ordered deported, but they simply aren't being deported. And so when you hear Trump and Border Czar Tom Homan talk about ramping up deportations and where they're going to start, they're going to start with these 1.4 million total illegal aliens in the United States that have final orders of removal because they've gone through the court processes already. And you know, one of these countries is China. And we just had a Chinese illegal alien, I think it was in California, who's sending weapons to the North Koreans while inside the United States. And so it gives you an example of the sort of things that we have to watch out for and why it's important to remove these people when they have these final orders of removal.
So we're talking 100,000 of them, but there are almost 1.5 million total of these aliens who have been ordered to leave, right? Ordered to leave, but have not been deported yet, right? I just want to make sure I understand.
Exactly.
That's about one out of two. That's about one out of every 300 people in the country don't belong here. I have already been ordered to leave and then have it. That's an amazing number when you think about it. You get a bunch of people inside a stadium and you could start pointing out every 300 people or so, there's an illegal that needs to go.
It is. I'm from the state of Montana, and 1.4 million is more people than live in the entire state that I grew up in, which is kind of mind-boggling for me to think about. And a lot of these people, Bill, are from easy-to-remove countries like Mexico and Guatemala, Honduras, countries that cooperate with us and are nearby. And so there's no excuse to not be removing these people. Now, some of the countries like China and Venezuela are going to be potentially more challenging for the Trump administration, but there are tools that they can use to get these people removed to their home country. Or one of the solutions is sending them to basically a safe third country that is willing to take these illegal aliens.
Do they know, or do we, speaking of the United States immigration officials, do we know where they all are, these 1.4 million, or have they kind of melted back into the system once again? Because you said they've already gone through the court proceedings, correct?
Yeah, and I think one of the problems will be depending on how long has it been since this alien was given this final order of removal? Has it been 10 years? And if so, what was the last contact we had with them? Was it years and years and years ago, and we're using an address for this person from years ago? Mm-hmm. That could be a little bit more challenging. Did we most recently make contact with this person? Well, then maybe we have an idea of where they are. But I think that will be one of the biggest challenges in all of this is locating these people. But you've got things like court records or ICE check-ins or ankle monitors of some people if they have work authorizations to hopefully find out where they're working. So I think there's a variety of tools that we can use to locate these people. And I think the people who were most recently here and given these orders will be the people that were able to find the quickest.
All right. I would imagine then if they end up getting involved in law enforcement or commit another crime or have some kind of contact with authorities, they will probably end up being flagged in the system, and then ICE or the ICE folks will take over from there. What is the actual process of getting someone out of the country? Have you ever looked into that? I mean, there's a part of me, people are saying that it is so difficult and so time-consuming and money-consuming that it's going to take a lot longer than we think. Have you ever looked into that?
It is going to take a long time because there are it could potentially take a long time. I shouldn't say that it's going to because I don't know the specifics of how the Trump administration is going to carry it out.
Yeah, I would just send Tom Homan out with a bunch of handcuffs. He just seems like one of those guys that you never know. There are just certain people you see in the system, Joey. They're like serious as a heart attack. Tom Homan's one of them.
He is. He is no nonsense. You've got to put people on airplanes, and there's a logistical a challenge with doing that, right? There's only so many planes that the government has, and so it is going to be a challenge. And I think that 1.4 million is going to keep the federal government busy for quite a long time because that's a lot of people to get out of the country. And, Bill, I think in all of this, as you start to see illegal aliens removed and other illegal aliens start to see their fellow illegal aliens removed, you'll have some people that leave on their own because they understand what's happening. I think it was Tom Homan said, look, if you're an illegal alien, you shouldn't feel comfortable in the country. If I was living in another country illegally, I wouldn't feel comfortable. You just shouldn't. And so I think as people start to feel uncomfortable with being here illegally, you'll start to see some that just return to their home country. And remember, all of these people are going home. it's not like we're, or at least the goal is not to send them to some random country that they've never been to before. They're going home at the end of the day.
All right. That sounds reasonable. A little self-deporting never hurt anyone in that particular case, and that'll save us a few bucks. But the idea is once you start seeing the planes flying and the people are leaving, then we may see a bit more of the self-deporting. Then they realize, okay, they're really serious. Trump really means it, and you know it's going to be tougher. Is there any talk now on going with more of cracking down on employers who are employing illegal aliens? Is there any talk about that, going at it from that side of it too?
There is, yes. And I think that one of the goals, you know, is going to be getting E-Verify into law. That'll be huge for making it harder for employers to employ either willingly or not on purpose illegal aliens. I also think, you know, we can see ICE conduct worksite enforcement. I totally think that that's going to be an issue. And again, that's one of those things where if you start to send the message that if you're working illegally, we're going to catch you, you'll see less illegal aliens coming here to work illegally. And you'll, I think, see the ones that are working here illegally stop because they don't want to get caught by immigration officials.
Joey Chester, your spokesperson with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. These people have been in the trenches on this issue for years and years. And gosh, did you ever think we would see this time in which there might be some actual mass deportations? Did you ever think it there, I mean, amongst the water cooler at FAIR, that there might actually be something going on finally?
Well, I think we have one of the greatest opportunities in a long time to do something. And I think a big part of that is the mandate from the American people.
Yep.
Immigration has not been as big and public of an issue as it has, except for these past 4 years, people witnessing the utter lawlessness. And so now you really have this mandate. The American people want to see change, and we are super excited to be in this fight and help lead the charge to get long-lasting border security and immigration enforcement.
Yeah, the top two issues here when people were voting for President Trump, one was inflation and the economic issue, and the other one was border security. And both were top of mind, and I think they're going to be top of mind in the Trump administration coming in January. Joey, a pleasure talking with you as always. Thanks for the latest on that. FairUS.org. Stay informed and up on all the immigration news and what's happening on the border. They're working that. And also consider contributing to the cause if you could also. Joey, thank you very much. Be well.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
It's 6:53 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your holiday, focus on what truly matters and let Incogni protect your online privacy. Give the gift of security and peace of mind. Incogni.com.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
And Mannheim Steamroller and American Christmas makes a return. Christmas Eve, 9 o'clock is when it's going to start. And we're going to be running until 6 o'clock on Christmas Day. And by the way, that is sponsored on KMED and KBXG. On KMED, sponsored by Fontana Roofing. Fontana Roofing doing that. And 99.3 KBXG, Clouser Drilling. Great folks at Clouser Drilling are sponsoring that too on the jukebox, 99.3. It is 6:57. We have Vicky in the Applegate. Hello, Vicky. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What's on your mind? What are you thinking?
Well, I was just listening to the guy about the border. I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I think for the border, if Biden's going to sell it for $5, you know it cost all of us way more than that.
It was probably $5,000, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think if he's going to be, well, first of all, that contract should have never said sell.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been donated to the states that run the border, along the border.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what the Republicans, you know, because that was a Republican-controlled NDAA from 2023. I'm kind of surprised that, Republicans would have let that go through, because you can almost see what was going to happen. Well, Biden administration would make sure that it wouldn't get used, so it would be sold, right?
Right.
Gave them discretion.
I think we need a list of those Republicans that voted for that, first of all.
I'd be willing to bet you everybody voted for it. That's what they did. Because, you know, you just get that big vote and everyone piles in there. I just like to find out who put it in there is what I'd like to find out.
Well, that would be interesting, too. And I think the American people voted to have the wall put back up along with having President Trump become president again. And just it's like such a huge slap in everybody's face for them to be doing this.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely it is the big middle finger coming from the Biden administration to Trumpy. Coming in, that is for sure.
So, second of all, as far as finding these illegal aliens, I think because our country is such a melting pot, we have many countries, you know, where a lot of the same race congregate, like Chinatown or, you know, that there should be a national tip line. And a lot of these nationalities would be aware of these criminal people or these people showing up that they don't know or haven't seen before. I think that there should be a national chip.
You know, that's actually a very interesting way of doing it, right? So, in other words, you can anonymously tip off ICE that we think that this person, you know, maybe there's something like that already, but that's actually that's interesting. If somebody can provide a little bit of evidence to something like that, maybe that will help. And
well, I think
because a lot of these a lot of these alien communities, like you said, the Chinatowns and things, they don't really quite often. One of the challenges they're dealing with is like, look what was happening in Colorado with the Venezuelan gangs.
Right.
I'd be willing to bet you even the fellow Venezuelans that may have been living there, they didn't want them there. Right.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You know, people came into this country legal and they're working, they're paying their taxes. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to see a bunch of illegal people coming in that are robbing, raping, pillaging, you know, stealing from the government with everything they're getting for free or getting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I like your idea, though, of the tip line. I like that. Maybe that's something that could be given to Doge, too, for that matter. Appreciate the call there, Vicky. Good to hear from you in the Applegate. All right, 7 o'clock. And I think this is Holly. Is this Holly? Good morning, Holly.
Good morning, Bill Meyer.
Yeah, there aren't many people I know with 760s as the area codes. I mean, I'll bet that's Holly. How are you doing this morning?
I am Holly. You know, I do have a pebble in my shoe. It's just a boulder. And that is that people just don't pick up the phone and talk to each other anymore. Instead of making an appointment with somebody like one of the commissioners or something like that, they file a recall. You know, if you have a problem with somebody, you don't write an article in the newspaper. Don't, you know, put an editorial in the paper. Pick up the phone, call them up and say, hey, Holly, hey, John, or whomever you want to speak to, can I make an appointment with you? I have some matters to discuss. Many of these things could be resolved very easily, because there's so much miscommunication, misinformation floating around. It wastes everybody's time, a heck of a lot of money. This recall is going to cost, you know, more than $70,000.
Now, my gut tells me that that John will win this one. I don't think he's going to be recalled.
Well,
but it is a very divisive process. And the other aspect I would bring up here, though, is that especially in Josephine and Jackson County, our elected officials there on the county commissions are very easy to get a hold of. It's not exactly like they're hiding out, right?
Every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, between 9 and whenever it ends, you can go in and sit in on a meeting. You can watch those meetings because they're all recorded and you can watch them. And then you could call and have a conversation. You know, people say, oh, I can't talk to them because I can't make the meeting. There are so many ways to speak to these people.
All right. I wanted to ask you, though, but isn't what is driving this particular recall more about the hard feelings, the hard personal feelings between Lily Morgan and John West? Isn't that really what's been driving this, the way I'm kind of observing it as an outside observer?
I suspect it is, but, you know, who knows? But it makes no sense the way this is being handled. You don't recall somebody that was been elected by over 21,000 some odd votes. You know, a lot of people wanted him in, and he's doing exactly what he said he would do. He, you know, when he is so, it's just a canard, and it makes me so angry and so tired of spending this kind of money. Do you know that every single one, they file a bunch of ethics violations, kind of like what they did with Trump, just to make him look bad. Every single one of them has been denied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a single one of them has landed, but they keep doing that. They get things in the paper, and of course our mayor, you know, her husband is the city editor, and so she can probably get whatever she wants put in the paper. But, you know, that's how people are fighting, rather than just having a face-to-face conversation like people used to do and like normal people still do.
Appreciate the call there, Holly, as always. Could you hang on just a minute? I wanted to talk with you off air, okay?
Sure.
All right. Holly Morton, then, Josephine County Republican Party Chair. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, Ron Grants Pass.
Yeah, Ron.
On the border issue, it seems like there's theft of the people's property, and the government is acting as a fence to sell it at a discount.
You know, that's a really interesting point. Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, at least the state of Texas, which has a Republican leadership, can go in there and cause a lawsuit and get a judge to put a stop on any moving and or sale of the property until it can be shown that that's the best approach.
Yeah, well, it would have to be a federal judge. It does appear, though, that actual congressional law enabled that, though. And I don't know, you know, the court may be – maybe looking at that.
There was three choices, and they chose the worst case.
Well, yeah, but that was just it. You know, there was discretion to the executive, and maybe that was the mistake, to have given them discretion.
Now,
you know.
Now here's the solution. We got a government that's coming into office. It's going to have a clawback issue that's going to go to those states like Arizona and New Mexico and California that are controlled by Democrats, and get a clawback where anything that they have done in the past can be
retroactively retrieved. Hey, even possibility of that, if you're going to get the liberal courts that support you, could be a high bar. You know how that goes. But, hey, a fella can dream, right? Thanks, Ron. It's 7:05. We'll catch up on Town Hall News and the rest of it and so much more. And then we're also going to be talking about, hey, what's that up in the sky? Because Congress has been having a lot of hearings on that, and not just the drones. We'll talk with James Fox here about his latest documentary on the way.